God of the psalmist and Jonah, Jesus, you who speak in parables, and Spirit, you who help us to right what's wrong in us and in our world, speak to us today. Amen. In today's psalm, the psalmist rejoices and praises God for being gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Yet in our first reading, the reluctant prophet Jonah angrily spews his offense at God with the very same words. Says Jonah, I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. Jonah is not happy when he speaks these words. Jonah does not rejoice at God's generosity and goodness, because God's goodness has benefited Jonah's enemies, the Ninevites, whom he has been taught to hate and despise. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells a parable to demonstrate life in the kingdom of heaven, or as Martin Luther King Jr. would say it, life in the beloved community of God. In this community, the last are first, and the first are last. Such shuffling and reordering is necessary because God, who is generous, good, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, is about the business of righting a world that has gone wrong. In this parable, those who have worked all day in the vineyard take offense at being paid the same and receiving the same benefits as those who worked only 2 hours. Even though they receive the pay they had been promised when they agreed to work, it just strikes them as wrong that others were treated equally for what they see as unequal effort. After all, in a compensatory world, time is money. Thus, they grumble about the landowner's generosity and goodness, which doesn't appear good to them at all. How then do we, how have we, how will we respond to God's generosity, God's goodness towards others? Speaking for myself, I can say that at times I've responded as the psalmist. At other times, I've responded as Jonah. And still at other times, I've responded as the day-long workers in the vineyard. So as we take a closer look at today's parable, it's important to ask, for whom is Matthew's parable good news? For whom is it bad news? Who rejoices in its fairness and rightness, and who is offended by its unfairness, its wrongness? Someone who can help us with this task is biblical scholar Justo Gonzalez, who wrote the book Santa Biblia, The Bible Through Hispanic Eyes. Here's what he has to say to help us understand these questions. When this parable is read in most churches, there is a general reaction that the whole thing is unfair. It is just not right that people who worked more should be paid the same as people who worked less. In such a social context, All that is seen is the injustice of it. In contrast, when the parable is read in some of our poor Hispanic churches, there are people who immediately identify with the laborers, for they understand the plight of those who must go early in the morning to stand at a place where someone may come in a pickup truck and hire them. They may be lucky one day and find a whole day's work. Other days, they may spend hours waiting and find nothing to do, or be hired only for a couple of hours. They clearly understand, because they have experienced it, this conversation between the landowner and those who are still standing around at about 5 o'clock. Why are you standing here idle all day? Because no one has hired us. Then comes the surprising finale, where the landowner pays those who only worked a couple of hours a whole day's wage. And the reaction is not one of mystification and outrage, as in a middle-class congregation, but rather of joy and celebration. They can see that this is not an act of injustice, but rather an act of supreme justice. Those hired at 5 o'clock were not at fault in not having found work earlier. They were actually standing there all day, hoping against hope that someone would hire them. In a sense, they had more hope and stamina than those who were guaranteed a job early in the day. The fact that no one hired them does not mean that they will not have to eat or that their needs will be lesser. They too need a day's wage in order to survive. Thus, the landowner's act in paying them a full day's wage is not a show of a grace that goes against justice, but rather of a grace that understands justice at a deeper level than is customary. The landowner pays them what they justly need and what they justly deserve, not what society with its twisted understanding of justice would pay them. Common justice would wash its hands of any responsibility for these unfortunate ones who did not find enough work to earn a living. This utterly just landowner, in contrast, pays them what they need and what they would have been ready to earn had they been hired earlier. In a way, the common reaction of most congregations is similar to the reaction of those who were hired earlier. They worked a full day. They had earned their day's wage. They deserve more than the rest. The less fortunate do not deserve a full day's wage. They may need it, but they have not earned it and should not be paid for work they did not do. What we forget, and those laborers also forget, is that we have been able to work and make a living because in a world that is still much as that described in the parable, we have been more fortunate than others. Thus, we are ready to limit justice to that which recompenses us and others like us for our full-time hard work. If we are callous, we may even say that those who have no work should simply be left to fend for themselves. If we are more sensitive, we may argue that such people need help either through private charity or through public welfare. We may even provide for them out of our own resources. And all of this is good. But still, we shall most likely miss the point that this parable is not speaking of God's grace as the opposite of justice and fairness, but rather as a higher and more loving understanding of justice and fairness. the unfairness and wrong we see in God's generosity, in God's goodness, reflects the wrong in us. The wrong in us reflects the wrong in a society which blesses entitlement, shames misfortune, and blames otherness and difference. However, the fairness, justice, and right that others see in God's generosity, in God's goodness, points us to a vision of a very different society, a very different community, which blesses the very beingness of a human being, which lifts people out of misfortune and celebrates and welcomes otherness and differences. Because God does not give up on us, self-righteousness, indignation, and offense can be transformed by repentance. Thus, if we are feeling offended, it might be time for an attitude adjustment. Daily, we need to repent of a sense of entitlement and behaviors of shaming and blaming. By so doing, we will find joy not only in living, but also in working. Working all day long, day in and day out, in God's beloved community, which celebrates the good fortune of others and their contributions, no matter how small or how large. Then we who are first will rejoice with the fast tracking of the last. Our envy of God's generosity will be replaced with rejoicing and gratitude. May it be so. Amen.